Episode 400 and...
Sorry, I was clearing my throat there.
Episode 4... Okay. Just get it out. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Episode 487, The Return of Double Dare and Other News.
We're at 487? We better get planning on that episode 500 thing.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We're back. Oh. And apparently so is Family Double Dare.
I'm going to give the top news because it's short, and then I want to talk about some things.
Okay.
Like episode 500. We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
The news is simple. According to Mark Summers, former host of Double Dare, he is coming out of retirement to host Double Dare at Comic-Con 2016.
Oh, so it's just a one-off?
I can't tell. I mean, I'm guessing it'll be one of those situations where if it gets enough fan response, Nickelodeon's going to bring it back in a flash. But for now, one
time. Does Nickelodeon even exist anymore?
As far as I know.
I don't think they do.
Are you kidding?
No.
It has to exist.
It's not
still.
The 90s anymore.
So channels don't just disappear.
Right.
All right. You look that up if Nickelodeon still exists, and then I'll give you some other facts.
Yeah, I guess it does still exist.
Well, I guess while you're doing that, I'll check and see if this is one time only.
Yeah, it sounds like it's one time only. Did you know it used to be called Pinwheel in the 70s?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you learn a lot every day.
Yeah, so it's going to be airing on Teen Nick starting Monday, July 25th.
Oh, so it's a new series.
I don't think it's a new series. I think it's... The event is going to be live streamed on Facebook Live, and then... But there's more to the event than just the live stream centerpiece. They'll also launch Double Dare Week.
I'm not sure how I feel about this whole Facebook Live business, by the way.
I don't really get what Facebook Live is, to be honest.
Well, you could just start recording yourself right now and you'd be on live, but...
Yeah, but then what? But how can people watch it again later?
I don't think they can. That's what's weird about it.
So people can only watch Facebook Live... Live.
I think so.
I don't think that's true.
Because I saw Rick doing it, and he was playing some songs, and I thought, well, I don't want to just start watching this because he's in the middle of a song. You know?
So then did you go back later to see if it was still happening?
No.
Well, check right now and see if that live video is available, the question.
It might be a different one, though, because Rick does a lot of videos.
Okay, so you don't really know.
I'm just saying I'm not sure. About Facebook Live.
We have a few announcements, so let's knock these out. Okay, here we go. Episode 500 right around the corner. Ben, last we spoke about this on the air, you said you were going to look into figuring out if we could do a Google Hangout or something so that we could have a live listener join us type episode.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
Okay, good. So that's happening. I think. That's basically our only plan for episode 500 is that people will join us that evening and maybe be on the show. Also, as a backup plan in case that doesn't work, send us your questions for Matt and Ben. Any questions about any topics, we'll tackle them on that episode. It could be a brief one.
We've got one.
We do already have one, and it's one we have to prepare for a little bit.
Right.
I have two. Remember, I had one from, because we planned good advice from Ben DiBono episode quite a while back, and only got one email with a question for you.
Right.
And I've been saving it, so... That will be happening.
I can't find any videos on Rick's page, live or otherwise.
Okay, well, then that answers the question.
Facebook Live, what's it good for?
I don't know. We'll have to... Listeners, let us know at Facebook at the
sci-fi-christian.com.
Can we do it from our... Well, maybe we should.
Well, I'll look into that while we go through the news.
Okay, great. What's another announcement we talked about? Oh, yeah. Well, right now we are sitting at 479 likes on Facebook.
Right.
And with episode 500 right around the corner, we're hoping to get to 500 by that. You know, I just got distracted because thinking about what we talked about in the air or off the air. I have to ask you something, Ben. So I need you to listen to me for a second. But so I'm going to announce what the thing is, and I have to ask you the question. By episode 500, we want to get to 500 Facebook likes. So everyone that isn't currently liking us on Facebook, go do it. But here's how we're enticing you.
Right.
Ben and I have randomly selected a number between 480 and 500.
Right.
Now, the reason we're doing this is because we don't want to give a reward to the 500th person, because then everyone's just going to wait to like us until it gets close.
Right.
So instead, we've selected a number. And the one I wanted to ask you,
there's no incentive for waiting.
Right. Just do it. It's random. I can't remember if we did pick a number. Do you know what?
I do know.
You have it in your head.
I have it in my head.
Okay, good. You have to tell me off the air.
You said it was really important that we not forget this number.
Well, I have it recorded. So I couldn't remember if our conversation led to us actually selecting the number or not.
Yeah.
So we have it. Okay.
No, I've got the number.
Okay. So whatever that number is, if you are the person that likes us at that number level, is this making sense?
Yeah.
If you're let's say the number is 480, maybe it is. Could be.
I was going to choose something that wasn't.
Next one?
Well, I was going to choose 416 or something, just as a hypothetical.
Oh, I see. Yeah, let's do that. Do a hypothetical.
Okay, so say it's 416 and we're trying to get to 425, which isn't what this is more confusing. Just say it's 480.
Okay, let's just say it's 480. Then you get a prize of your choosing that we will talk to you about off the air. Ben and I have been talking about a few fun options, but it depends on what type of personality the listener that gets this prize has, which one they'll want to participate in. So we'll give you some options, but I think it will be fun. So
right.
That is what we want you to do. So right now, go like us on Facebook. All right, Ben, give me some news.
Okay. Well, I'm on the cusp of figuring out this live business. I don't think I can do it. Oh, I'll figure it out later. All right. So I have some big news out of Iraq.
Okay.
Where, do you remember Saddam Hussein?
I do remember him, yes.
Okay, so he's in the news.
Okay, that's interesting. I thought he was dead.
It's curious that he's in the news because he is dead. But during his life, he was a pretty busy guy.
In a negative sense.
Well, mostly, he killed a lot of people, so that was unfortunate. But he also was he had an artsy streak in him.
Okay.
Specifically, he was a novelist. He liked to write novels. So Saddam Hussein has a book that's being published shortly.
This can't be real.
This is 100% real. That is being advertised, and this is not made up either. The publisher is advertising it as a cross between Game of Thrones and House of Cards. So if you like one or both of those shows, and you don't mind reading something written by Saddam Hussein, coming to a bookstore near you.
This can't be real.
Should we do an official review of Saddam Hussein's novel after it comes out?
I'm just going to say maybe, because I've read worse, I'm sure.
I think I would want to make sure that proceeds were not going to the
Saddam Hussein Foundation.
Like, I don't want to support ISIS.
Right. We'll do a little research first before we dive into that novel.
Right.
I mean, I'm just going to say I'm not 100% opposed, even though I don't, believe in what that guy stood for. I would maybe check out the book.
Well, there's a lot of authors where you don't agree with everything.
Exactly.
This might be a more extreme example. And who knows? Maybe he wrote like a trilogy with Osama bin Laden or something. They can the dictator cinematic universe going.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, let's leave the story right there. But we'll
have to see if I can find a title for you.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Well, you didn't hear the X-Men news, so I'll tell you about that.
Okay.
It's fresh. It just happened within the last few hours. Apparently, Marvel Television Studios and Fox has come to some agreement. And they are going to be producing for the Fox network an X-Men TV series, but an untitled X-Men. See, it's kind of an X-Men universe story, but not about the X-Men. It's about mutants in a family.
Yeah.
Or something.
Don't know. Something like that.
No title. No idea if this is part of the MCU, but it is. I'd say it's noteworthy that the Marvel Television Studio is helping to produce it.
Okay, so Saddam wrote four novels, only one of which is being published in English, which is Zabiba and the King. Okay. He also wrote The Fortified Castle. He wrote something called Men and the City. And then his final novel was called Begone, Demons, which he finished right as the U.S. invaded. So perfect timing. You don't have to wait for the ending on that one. He got it done.
So when you said fortified castle, it reminded me of The Man in the High Castle. So
yeah, not that.
It got me wondering, what if he just took existing books and put his name on as the author because he's a dictator. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right here on Amazon, Zabiba the and the King. This is coming out. Oh, it's available now.
Hmm. Well, let's look at what ratings it's getting.
Look, there, his face is on the cover.
Here, hold on a second. I gotta check this out on Goodreads.
It's got a 4.5. 4.5.
4.5
out of 5-star rating.
All right. Spell that Zabiba for me.
It's Zabiba. It could also have an H at the end.
Okay, I found it. We're good. Yeah. All right. Let's see how it's doing on Goodreads. Goodreads, it has an average score of 2.88.
Well, that's probably just people downvoting it because of the author.
This has been out since 2004.
Yeah, but I think it's being translated into English for the first time.
Okay, I'm just randomly picking the most recent review.
Okay.
Just to hear a little bit of what people think about this. Though at times, this was a 2-star rating by this person. Michael is the name of this reviewer. Though at times eloquent and expressive, the term that most accurately describes Saddam Hussein's allegorical love story, though that categorization itself can easily be challenged, is dense. Its characters are philosophical and introspective, and while there is a romance between Zabiba, a common woman, and Arab, the king, they both are more likely to be having socio-political discussions than to be doing anything traditionally romantic.
Okay, that's actually not the one coming out this year. So I guess that one has been out.
Okay.
Begone Demons, his final one, is coming out into English in December, and the London-based publisher is... describe the piece as, quote, a mix between Game of Thrones and the UK House of Cards style fiction. That sounds pretty good to me.
Okay.
The novella focuses on a tribe living in the Euphrates River 1,500 years ago that ousts an invading force.
I am 100% positive this is the most time we've spent discussing Saddam Hussein on this show.
Right.
It's amazing.
Saddam Hussein and Double Dare in one episode.
Wow.
We are probably the only podcast to ever accomplish that.
All right, so can we move on to something else?
I think we can.
I'm just going to give you a...
I'm Saddam Hussein'd out.
Quick headline here. Apparently, Bryan Cranston compared Power Rangers to the tone of The Dark Knight.
Huh. Well.
Is he losing credibility, or is he being silly?
Well, I mean... I'm guessing they're paying him a lot to be out there promoting that movie. You pay me enough, and I'd rave about it here on the air. So
yeah, that's actually true. We will sell out. If you're out there listening, Power Rangers producers, we'll do a stunning review.
We'll give a positive review.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got next?
So the Wonder Woman movie has been announced that Zack Snyder is, in fact, writing the script.
But not alone.
Not alone.
And this is good news, because I would say, potentially, my favorite comic book writer, Geoff Johns, who is now transitioned into working with DC Entertainment in their television and movie division, he also helped to write this. So
I just think Zack Snyder's time with the DC universe needs to be done.
Oh, I agree. But this was part of the whole schedule before he started to get booted out. And Geoff Johns is one of the people that's now taking over for him. So
right.
I don't think this is entirely bad news, especially if Geoff Johns had the stronger voice.
Yeah, I think people were hoping he wouldn't be involved with it at all. Mm-hmm. So
I think this movie looks okay.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. She was a good actress in Batman v Superman. I mean, she didn't do anything worthwhile in the movie.
That reminds me, if you listened all the way to the end of our last news episode, I proposed to Ben that we watch the 3-hour version of Batman v Superman at his place and then do a mini review for the show to tell you, is it better? Ben, what have you've had 1 week. What have you decided?
I really don't want to.
I didn't ask that. I asked if you would.
Like, is there any other movie we could watch instead?
Yeah, there's tons of movies, but I'd rather.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm going to watch this.
Wait, no. See, here.
There's a part of me that just wants to make you do it.
Here's the only reason I'm not flat out saying no. It's because you wanted to have Sam along.
Yeah.
And I had a good time with Sam at Lawrence of Arabia, and he's moving away.
Yeah. This is his last wish for you.
Is there any other movie he'd be willing to watch?
Well, okay, you propose a couple, and I'll propose a couple.
Okay, well, you wanted to see Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
We can do that.
I'd also like to watch The Last Crusade. I haven't seen that Indiana Jones
movie. Perfect.
Okay. Well, what else?
Gattaca, you've wanted to see.
Yep. I've also wanted to watch... I've seen this before, but I'd like to rewatch Godfather.
Yep. All right.
So those are four good movies, Sam.
We can watch Godfather, Godfather 2, Godfather 3, back to back to back. We'll make a day out of it.
And we still have... it will still be less time than it would have been to watch Batman v Superman.
Correct.
That's not true.
No, but it feels true.
All right, Sam. Well, you're probably out there listening. It sounds like Ben's giving us a thumbs down.
Just pull up IMDb, any movie. Just about any movie. I'd watch Jupiter Ascending again before I'd watch it, only because it's shorter.
I get it.
But it's 3 hours.
All right. I think you're off the hook. Sam, write us at feedback@thesci-fi-christian.com.
If it's the only way that this will happen, I'll do it. But if there's any other option, I'll take it.
Yeah, last week after you left and I realized it probably wasn't happening, I decided to start to come up with some alternatives. So
I like all of your alternatives infinitely more.
Okay. All right. Dan Harmon is saying that the Community movie is still a possibility, but I'm not feeling optimistic.
I never saw season 6.
Oh, that's interesting. What were you waiting for?
I don't know. I think I just didn't see season 6.
And you know what's funny? Yahoo Screen, which is their service that it aired on, doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
So I don't know
how. Ran out of steam.
Community was their only show, I think, that they had that was had any sort of notoriety. But if you want to watch season 6 right now, I don't know how you would. It's not on DVD.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it's online anywhere.
Yeah.
So you're out of luck.
Well, that's a shame. That's a shame what happened to that show, because it was so good.
I know.
And then, yeah, it just got torpedoed. I'm not a big Quentin Tarantino fan, and part of it is that he just rubs me the wrong way as a person, and this is why. Stuff like this is why. So he's announced 2 more films, and I'm done. I'm retiring. So he would have made, I think there would be 10 films. Fine. But now, let's get this straight. He just released one this last year, The Hateful Eight, so he's going to make 2 more movies. So that's like 6 years away. And he's already hinting at a comeback after his retirement.
Oh, really?
What a joke! Don't do that!
That's kind of weird. I didn't read the whole news, but...
Yeah, he says he could return after his retirement. No, don't do that. It's if you are having second thoughts about your planned retirement, just say, I might not retire. Like, that's acceptable, but don't say, yep, I'm still going to retire in 5 to 6 years, but then I might come back. What are you talking about? Don't be a moron.
All right, your next piece of news.
You like comic books.
I do.
You like professional wrestling.
I did. I don't know where this news is going, but I don't think I would like a comic book about professional wrestling.
Well, Boom Studios, I don't know who they are, but they're going to be publishing WWE comic books. So I was going to ask you if you were planning on reading them, but it sounds like not.
I don't think I would, but I do appreciate you thinking of me.
That doesn't sound like the best use of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is super noteworthy. It's just a picture that they debuted, but in preparation for Flash Season 3, they did show a character image of Kid Flash, which is Flash's sidekick, in costume.
What a dumb name.
Well,
Robin's a terrible sidekick, but at least they didn't call him Kid Batman.
Well, Kid Flash, I agree. It's not the best name, but this was a name that was developed, I bet, in the 60s or 70s, 50s. Yeah,
so was
maybe
Robin.
Even. I don't know.
Think of how bad Robin is, and they still managed to do better than this.
I do want to talk a little bit about sidekicks while I find out when Kid Flash debuted.
Oh, I don't like sidekicks at all. Unless we're talking about me as your sidekick here on the Sci-Fi Christian, I am in favor of that sidekick. But yeah, sidekick, I mean, Robin was just... the reason I don't like Robin is he wasn't invented for any purpose having to do with the story or the character of Batman. He was just invented to sell comic books to little kids. Because, there's someone like me running around with Batman. Is that great? No, it's not great. In fact, it was pretty weird.
I love Robin. I'm putting him on my list for top comic book characters.
What do you love about Robin?
Well, when it comes to the character of Dick Grayson is an interesting character in the history of DC Comics.
Yeah, interesting for how weird it was.
No. Hey, you know what? Speaking of characters, we weren't going to bring this up, but it came up naturally.
Oh,
so
no.
We've already closed the door on your comic book character submissions. However, yeah. we do still have a future countdown that we're doing this year as well. So we have two countdowns come out this year. The next one is top 100 sci-fi characters. This is, can be from books, movies, television, anywhere, video games, anything. We're
except
still
comic books.
Anything except comic books. That's right. The distinction. That's why we're doing two lists. So we are accepting your submissions right now. You can send them in to ben@thescifichristian.com. You send us 20 names. The top 10 have to be ranked, and then that will go make a big difference on where they appear on the list. Your 11 through 20 can be in any order. They're automatically receiving just half a point for their ranking.
Correct.
All right, so that's happening. Kid Flash debuted in December 1959. So there's that.
All right.
Do you have any more news? Or
I have two pieces of news.
Go ahead.
So this Neil Blomkamp Alien sequel, which I guess is still in the works, even though Ridley Scott is doing his Alien.
Yeah, I thought that was done.
It's not. But I guess that the plan is that they're just going to ignore. Should it happen, they're planning on ignoring completely Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, which I think is the way to go. They set things up so promisingly after Aliens and then just botched it with the next two.
Yeah, I would like that to happen. And this is not a good precedent, but there is a precedent for this in film with Superman Returns, where they
right.
ignored 3 and 4. And I've heard rumors for years that either the studio or the creators of Matrix want to basically get a redo. That everybody loves the first one, but a lot of people don't like the two sequels. So just start back over from there. I don't know if I'm for that, because I think if I could have anything, I wish that nothing existed after just the Matrix.
Yeah, plus, for as bad of a job as they did, the Wachowskis, 14 years later, I trust them even less now.
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, my gosh, they've just gotten terrible.
Yeah, so I'm kind of glad that this is happening, just because it gives people a chance to kind of get redos on stories that ended up being told badly.
Right.
Good. All right,
think we talked about The Godfather? Maybe Francis Ford Coppola will do Godfather 3 the right way.
3, for real.
Yeah. 3 is not a good movie. Yeah.
So I haven't seen 3. I've seen 1 and 2, never 3.
I would watch 3. I would watch 3. I just said it's not a good movie, but I would watch 3.
All right, what's your last piece? And then I've got a bunch.
Oh, this is just depressing. So Sony came out and announced that the Ghostbusters, they're not just making sequels, but they've just gone ahead and declared that the franchise is going to be endless. They use the word endless. They're not even pretending to actually have meaningful story arcs to tell. It's just, we're just going to throw crap at the screen until Kingdom Come. It's an endless series. So please don't go see this movie. Even if you think it looks great, wait till it's on DVD so that you do not support another endless franchise. We do not need endless franchises.
I don't have this in my news, but speaking of endless, I saw an interesting article today. You possibly read it on Collider. It was, maybe it wasn't Collider, but somewhere online there was an article about, are comics still considered ongoing? Because they keep on restarting and renumbering, there's a rebirth or a reimagining. And so comics in the old days, you'd get up to the long running ones would be 400, 500 issues. Maybe it's issue 659, something like that. Right. Now it's, you get up to 12 and that's pretty high.
Right. But, made it a year.
Yeah. So Marvel did announce, though, just last year that they're thinking of their comics as more of a TV show format. So every year is a season, and they're now coming up on a year later, and they are kind of restarting all their comics again this fall at number ones again.
Yeah.
So a comic like Spider-Man, which has been around for a long time, that has, out there in the world, there's one Spider-Man number one that's worth something. And then there's 5 or 6 others that exist that have just come out during these random reboots. Let me start over. They're not reboots. They're just basically like a kickoff to a new season of story.
I think, I'm saying this as a non-comic fan, so all you comic fans can by all means ignore me because you guys like the medium more than I do. But in my opinion, the solution would be to stop worrying about tying everything together. Stop pretending there's some elaborate continuity. When you bring a new creative team on, let them have their run. They can tell their story at any point in the character's history and not worry about what became before or after anything. Just let them tell their story and then pass the torch, and then the next team doesn't have to worry about what they did. Just, yeah, I mean, you're, like, have your monumental points, like Uncle Ben died, or Bruce Wayne's parents died, or Jason Todd died, you know, and all, well, not anymore, which is dumb, but, you know, all of that, but then don't worry about continuity, because then you can get rid of stuff like phony resurrections and trying to shoehorn all of that in, and you can stop worrying about having a new people being brought on board, because then it's like, well, oh man, this is intimidating because I've got 60 years here to catch up on. No, you don't. You just have to know these five big bullet points about Spider-Man's history, and then just go back 3 years to when this creative team started their story and catch up there. That's a really low bar. And you don't have to do this goofy reboot stuff all the time.
I feel like in some ways that is the current method, other than the fact that there's a lot of intertwining with other series.
But they're pretending like it isn't. Like Marvel wants you to think that all of their comics are in continuity.
Right.
And that's what, you know, people got all upset about this Captain America thing. It ruined comics from 50 years ago, as though they're still the same story. No, it's not. That's just ridiculous.
Did you hear? I'm not going to say how here, but did you hear it was, yeah, it was resolved 1 month later?
Yeah, just everybody gets all upset.
I know. I was going to say something about comics. Oh, yeah, we did have a listener that gave us a great idea for an episode late last year, and we could probably do it sometime this year still, which was... I'm just going to give you the gist of the idea because I don't remember it in full, but it was something like, how would you like to see certain comic book characters' stories end? So he basically wanted us to project out and say, here's a great way to end Batman's story. Here's a great way to end Daredevil's story. I think that'd be an interesting episode, but it'd probably take a little preparation time.
And see, my idea would let you do that. Because if I'm writing a Batman comic and I say, I actually want to see Batman now end his career, or he's going to die, or something like that, and I want to actually tell a complete story, now I can do that. And then the next creator doesn't have to worry about some hokey way of resurrecting him. They just start at whatever point in Batman's career they want to start at.
Yeah.
That's just absurd.
Speaking of comics, in comics, there is a race of aliens called the Skrull. And they
one knows who owns them.
They're known for their shape-shifting ability. Most recently, I think it was 2008, they were in a high-profile Marvel comic story called Secret Invasion, where they had infiltrated the Marvel universe. Well, being a kind of a hot commodity in Marvel, there has been discussion about who owns them, and it turns out that both, because the Skrulls first appeared in Fantastic Four, Fox Studios has some rights to them,
yeah,
but Marvel Cinematic Universe, Marvel Studios also owns part of the rights. I don't get how it could be part or that they just co-own it, but it could mean we could have a Secret Invasion movie eventually. Would you like a Skrull secret infiltration type movie?
As long as it breaks the mold for the tired MCU formula, I'm all for it.
Tomb Raider, the reboot.
Yeah.
Got a release date in 2018. That's a ways away.
Yep.
Actually, no, it's not. It's like 2 years now.
Start the countdown.
The year 2018 feels like that's a long ways away, but it's not.
Decades away.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
2020 is only 4 years away. Like, there's people starting college this fall that are going to graduate in 2020.
Right.
That is weird.
Get ready for all the lame visioneering puns from different pastors and businesses about how we got to start seeing 2020 by 2020.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be terrible.
A couple of weeks back, I mentioned that the actor that plays Captain Cold in DC CW Universe is not going to be full-time in one show, but he's going to be full-time across all four of their shows. And they just announced this week that another character, John Barrowman's character, Malcolm Merlyn, will also have the same deal where he is a full-time staff member for DC TV, but he isn't on one show. He'll be on all four shows.
Yeah.
You like that guy from Doctor Who?
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, he's all right. What do we got here? I never played this game, Ben, but apparently this vintage Sega Genesis game called Rent-A-Hero. Have you heard of it?
Only because I read the same headline you did.
Apparently it's going to be coming to the big screen as a movie. I don't know anything about it, but I just announced it because I'm sure there's some listener out there who liked Rent-A-Hero.
Yeah.
So there it is.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
I'm going to do one more piece of movie news, and then we'll go to last news of the day.
Okay.
Which is also movie news.
So you're going to do two more pieces of movie news.
This past weekend, The Secret Life of Pets, an animated film that to me looked horrible, scored A massive $103.2 million in the box office.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not horrible, though. Let's just be very clear on that.
It knocked Finding Dory off the number one spot, which it had been at for, I think, three at minimum weeks, if not four.
Yeah, the BFG just bombed.
Yeah, Finding Dory is now the highest grossing film of 2016. There was a side note in this article that I was checking out that Legend of Tarzan wasn't as bad as everybody thought it was going to be. So that's kind of interesting. I think I could rent that. I'm not totally against Tarzan.
Yeah, but it looks pretty horrible, doesn't it?
I actually haven't watched a trailer for it quite yet.
Oh, yeah. I
thought the idea of it looked kind of lame, but right. Then people were saying, no, it's not that bad. Whereas yeah. I thought the idea for Lone Ranger looked kind of cool, and then everybody said that was bad.
I think that the rule on those things is wait for all the hype to go down. Like, if you're still interested in seeing it after nobody's talking about it, then go ahead and check it out.
Yeah.
But I think it just looks dreadful.
Okay. Here we go.
Last news of the day.
Well, for last news of the day, we're going to be talking about Universal's Monster Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Two little notes here. Looks like Javier Bardem is possibly joining that cinematic universe for the Frankenstein movie. I don't know if he's playing the monster or
right.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Maybe both.
What's your guess?
I'm going to guess both.
That's a great guess.
Yeah.
That's a really good guess.
Which would actually be interesting because he could get into the duality of the character, but I don't think they're smart enough.
That is pretty cool. And actress Sophia Boutella, who I guess was in Kingsman, she is in the movie The Mummy, and I think she's actually...
The Mummy?
I think she is The Mummy.
Oh, my.
I think. So
just gender swapping everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I could see there being multiple mummies, though, in The Mummy.
I suppose mummies, kind of by the time you get to that point, it doesn't really make a difference if you were male or female before. Exactly. I think the embalming process pretty much takes care of that business.
Exactly. Do you want to do a little listener feedback? It looks like you did respond to one piece we got earlier today about Vid Angel.
Yeah, we could do that. Right. We should probably wrap it up pretty quick because we got two more episodes to get
That's
to.
That's true. Let's just do this one and then we'll do it.
Okay.
We'll get to the next two. I'm going to read the feedback and then I see that you did email her, but I'll let you respond on the air. Melissa says, hello, enjoyed your episodes as usual. I probably won't change Ben's mind about Vid Angel, but I still want to defend it because I personally love it. Here's my defense. Whenever we buy a book, we mark out any swear words in it. Why? Because we own it. It's our property to do with it as we wish, and we don't want our kids reading swear words. Vid Angel works the same way. You purchase a movie for $20, you now own it, and you can cut out anything you don't think would be appropriate. You can then choose to sell it back to Vid Angel for $18. Semantics between renting and buying, I know, but if you don't sell it back within 24 hours, and the fact remains that you have bought the movie for good. And frankly, swear words and foul language are not art. There's a reason we call it foul. Scenes of people having sex together, the world may consider art, but they almost never add anything important to the plot, and a clean way to imply what happened could be substituted instead, and only cheapen marriage. The only area I might agree with Ben on would be violence and gore. If it's too much for you, don't watch that movie. One thing I will agree with Ben on is the new Ghostbusters movie. I originally thought it might be fun until I watched the trailer. Huh. It practically screamed how bad it will be. Anyway, y'all have a great day. And then I wanted to also add that on Melissa and her husband...
This should have been top news of the day.
What do you mean? Right. Yeah, I mean, it is pretty good. So Brian and Melissa have...
They just started a podcast.
Well, it looks like there's multiple episodes, though, so...
Well, I think they just... I think that they, maybe I'm wrong, but it seemed to me like they'd recorded some and then kind of announced it.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So, yeah. Brian and Melissa Koser, it's okay we say their names if we're promoting their podcast.
Right. Because if you listen to their podcast, you're going to hear their names.
They have a podcast called the 10 to 1 podcast.
Right.
Which I just listened to my first episode because I saw that we were featured on it.
Right.
No spoilers, but... Well, tiny spoiler. On this podcast, they...
Well, the gimmick in their podcast is that they're doing top 10 lists of different topics.
Right. Anything. Could be top 10 movies, top 10 songs.
Top 10 colors.
Top 10 podcasts.
They haven't actually done that one. I don't want to make them sound lame.
Top 10 podcasts. And We won't tell you what number we land at, but the Sci-Fi Christian is...
It's a high number.
In the top 10.
We're in the top 2. We're in the top 1. I mean, just listen to the episode.
Just listen to
it's
the
great.
Episode. Just listen.
You know, we're really good at doing countdowns.
We haven't been this year.
I would like to be a guest. You just posted this Take Me to the Reader show. I invited myself on that show to talk about 2001.
Yeah.
Brian and Melissa, let me know. And if Matt wants to... I'm just inviting myself. Yeah. I didn't want to be rude on your behalf.
No, you can invite me.
Okay, let us know what you would like us to count down.
Yeah, we'll be...
We want to be 10 to 1 guests.
We'll be guest hosts.
Exactly.
So, do they have a website?
I think it's ttzo.kozer. KOSER.US.
Yeah, let's check it out right now.
And I know
that is right,
because it took me forever. This is kind of embarrassing to admit, but it took me a long time to figure out what TTO meant.
Okay, so
obviously it means 10 to 1.
All right, so episode 1 was top 10 lamest superheroes. Episode 2, top 10 musicals. Episode 3, top 10 podcasts. Episode 4, top 10 villains. And their last and most recent episode, episode 5, top 10 Bible stories that make us laugh. This is a pretty good podcast.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So,
yeah, it was.
I'll be honest, I've only listened to ours, but I'm going to check out some of those other ones too.
Right.
So, when I say ours, I mean the one that we appear on.
Right. Well, we haven't appeared on any yet.
Well, in name only.
Right.
So, maybe episode 6 could be top 10 guest hosts. Number 1, Ben and Matt.
That's right.
We'll see. So, yeah, feel free to let us know about that, guys. So, okay.
All right.
Back to VidAngel.
Well, I guess, like, in response to the first part about, you know, you own it so you can do what you want with it. I mean, that's absolutely true in terms of a legal sense. I'm not disputing anybody's, you know, you're not violating copyright law or anything like this. I think it's my point wasn't so much in terms of that you own. I guess what the distinction I would draw is that you own a copy of the work, but it's still not your work. It's not your artistic creation. So the problem I have is altering art that isn't yours. You know, if I bought the Sistine Chapel, I know this is kind of an extreme example. I don't think the Vatican's selling. But if I bought the Sistine Chapel, like, legally, I could go up and draw mustaches on everybody, but it would still be wrong for me to alter somebody's work. That's the basic principle I'm getting at there. And then what I sent back to Melissa was I'd actually done this video series on YouTube last year called Why Would You Watch That? Where I actually looked at, you know, in what cases can objectionable content, like what he's talking about, profanity or sex or violence, actually contribute to the art of a given work, because I think that it can. And so I did did an introductory episode, and then I did 3 episodes, one focused on A Clockwork Orange, one focused on the movie Shame, which is just a phenomenal, powerful film, and then one focused on The Exorcist. I didn't really address profanity in there so much. I was more focused on those, but I guess that, I would just disagree that I think that objectionable content can be artistically valid and artistically powerful. Can it be used just to be gratuitous? Absolutely, of course. But I do see the difference there. I see that there are works, and those 3 I think would be 3 really good examples of them, where there is a high level of objectionable content, but yet, because of and not in spite of that objectionable content, the artistic value of those works is enhanced. For profanity, I mean, you know, some of this is just a disagreement because people know I don't really care about profanity. And
I probably know it better than anybody.
Exactly. Yeah, I just stand over Matt swearing at him after every episode. And so some of that's just a disagreement of opinion, I guess, and we could get into all that. That'd be a different conversation. But I do believe when it comes to profanity, that it's important to contextualize it in the sense that I think there are cases where it's wrong. In other words, knowing from this email that Melissa is somebody who's bothered by it, if I was to go over to her and Brian's house and just start swearing at them or in front of them, I think that would be wrong because they are bothered by it. Whereas if I hang out with some friends who aren't bothered by it, I don't have a problem with it there. That's a longer conversation, though. But I think that in terms of art, like one example I would give would be something like Deadwood, where the film or the series is actually famous for its high level of profanity. And the reason for it is that David Milch, who did the series, he wanted to get across how foul a place Deadwood was. And his original intention was to use 19th century language to get that across. And then he tried to do that. He put it in the script and it fell flat because we talk so differently today. So what he essentially did was he used a 21st century level of crudity that would be the equivalent to what the 19th century language was back then to get across just how foul this place was. And it's Shakespearean. I know it sounds silly to say, but a profanity-labeled laden speech in that series is just incredibly profound. And the way that he uses it is artistically relevant and artistically defensible and artistically important. So I think that I guess I would just say that I think there's more to that conversation, though I don't fault people for being bothered by any of that stuff.
Great. I think that was a good response.
Yeah, but I would encourage everybody who's curious about that. Just go check out that YouTube series.
Sorry about that, Ben. Cut you off there. Check out the YouTube series. Why would you watch that?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
It's sci-fi Christian story time.
Ben, I'm going to be honest. I have a sad one for us this week.
Uh-oh.
And you're going to be as emotionally impacted as I was. Ben, you're not listening. You'll never guess what happened this past weekend.
Oh, no.
My bike got stolen.
The one I sold you?
Yes.
That's terrible news.
So I'll set the stage. I live in an apartment, and we have garages here. And so I had it in the garage, and I had it chained to a shelf. Now, in all fairness, the shelf is movable, but it's pretty heavy. So I just assumed, well, no one's going to go into my garage, which I lock often.
Right.
Again.
Often, being the key word.
To be honest, we've been a little bit loose on locking it lately.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and so, yeah, so the bike was chained to a shelf. I mean, this was like a 2 or 3 person job to steal this because they had to steal the bike and the shelf because
the shelf is gone.
The shelf is also gone, but I didn't feel as bad about that as this bike.
Yeah.
After I got it from you, I did some more stuff to it. So I spent a little money there, bought some accessories.
Be honest.
I haven't rode the bike in 2 years.
Okay.
No, not quite 2 years, but roughly. So
yeah.
But still, I mean, I always like knowing, I have a bike. If I ever want to use that bike, it's right out there in the garage.
I don't have any more bikes to sell you.
So what was it? It was last night. It was a little bit stormy again, not as bad as last week.
Right.
But we decided to pull into our garage, and I always have to kind of pay attention so I don't hit the bike. I was like, where's my bike? Where's my shelf?
Well, there you go. Don't ride your bike. I helped you change the tire on that.
I know. I'm kind of bummed about it. It just feels weird to get stolen from.
Well, I do have a second bike, but it's not for sale.
I'm not asking for your bike.
No. I was just going to say, if you would like to go bike riding with me sometime.
Just watch you?
Yeah, no, you can come with. I have a second bike.
So my mother-in-law, who happens to live in the apartment complex behind our apartment, so walking distance, after she found out that
she stole the bike.
No, after she found out it got stolen, she mentioned that she saw the shelf back behind our line of garages.
Oh.
So basically, these 2 or 3 people grabbed the bike, grabbed the big shelf, hauled it behind the garage.
That's smart.
Broke the shelf.
Yeah.
And took the bike and the chain.
No, that's smart because you don't want to, get to a place where you can work on it.
Right. That's basically what happened. And so they left the shelf back there.
Smart guys.
Yeah, good job. If you're listening out there and you stole my bike, way to go. Very efficient.
Yeah.
But yeah, so kind of sad. And here's an even more sad thing. When I was 16, my bike got stolen too.
Oh,
so
this is my second time.
It's like, fool me once, shame on you.
Maybe you're not living in the best places.
Is also true. I can only afford the bad parts of town, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Well, anyways.
Well, that is a sad... That. I had a lot of good... That bike was what I was riding when I first got back into biking.
Yeah, I know.
It's sadder for me than it is for you.
I know. I probably rode it less than 10 times in my entire life.
Right.
It was actually, you know, kind of a big deal to you, so yeah. I'm sorry to share that news.
That's okay. Glad somebody out there is getting use out of it.
Whatever.
What's that?
This is the wrong music.
Well, new outro music here at the Christian.
That's the Comic Book Time Machine music.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry about that. Here, I'll put it up for real here. I
told you iTunes doesn't work well for a sound card.
It does. It's working great. All right. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I'm Ben DiBono.
We're the Sci-Fi Christian, signing off.
And goodbye. I guess I just kind of exposed that I've never once listened to the Comic Book Time Machine. I'm sorry.
I don't mind. Doesn't hurt my feelings. I never thought you were.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to, though. So our last episode was episode 486, maybe?
Yeah.
And it was the 2001 movie review.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Take Me to Your Reader podcast, and I thought you were a great addition to the team. So, yeah, that was a really interesting discussion.
Did it get you excited to watch 2001 again this fall?
It did, kind of, yeah. So, yeah, if you are interested in a great analysis of 2001 Space Odyssey, A Space Odyssey, check out our last episode where Ben was a guest host on the Take Me to Your Reader podcast. Ben, I want everybody to help us out there with our charity that we're giving money to
right.
this year. You, off the air, committed to a pretty hefty sum, so I appreciate that.
$23.
I appreciate that.
To get us to an even... $1,400.
We had a donor this week that gave in, Laquita. So thanks out there in Los Angeles. She says, hello from Los Angeles. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. So everybody, if you're out there thinking about this, you've heard us talking about this every week for 7 months now, and you haven't given, you should. Go to onedayswages.org/the-sci-fi-christian. We're on a campaign to raise $5,000. The money's going to a fund that will be giving... or bringing water to places around the world that don't have access to clean water. So
right.
If you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you have access to clean water. Well, imagine if you didn't. That would be bad. You can help somebody that doesn't have water.
What if there's if you are listening, though, and you don't have access to clean water, but you do the internet, drop us a line. We'll send you some water.
Yeah, call us at 612-4121-SFC or write us at feedback@thescifichristian.com.
Yeah.
So again, go to onedayswages.org/thescifichristian where you can donate to this year's charity drive for One Day's Wages and their water fund. And again, thank you to everyone who has been giving.
I was going to give live on the air, but I don't know what my password is.
That's okay. We believe you.
I'm going to give that $23, though, unless somebody else does it first.
Nope, just do it right now. We'll all be here. We'll patiently watch.
It's not working.
Just request your password.
Well.
Come on, Ben. I know that you're not really going to do it if I don't listen. So you do it.
No. I'm good for it. I'm good for $23. Try email address, I guess. I don't want to request my password. I had a password.
We just got a contact via our website that needs to be approved. Whether it's spam or not. Do you want me to read a little bit to you while you're doing
I'm
that?
I'm pretty sure it's spam. I was reading that during the news episode.
Please read my new blurb and link. Everything changed. Never stop. Seems to stop. So we start all over again. I'm going to skip down to the funny part.
Right.
Promise of help, both financial and physical, have been made, but never kept. Even after I was paying the mortgage bank a court-mandated amount, those foreclosure wolves blew down our house in a sheriff's sale. I think we're going to block this one.
Oh, no. Now it says I should give $46.
No, that's great.
No, it's no good. I'm going to figure this out later.
No,
I'm going to do it.
You're doing great. Here, I'll read more emails.
But
read
we
more
got
emails.
Two other episodes to get to.
I know you can do it. Here's another email.
Don't want to do it right now. All right, PayPal. Where's your birthday? Why does it need... I don't want to give it my birthday.
Actually, they have a really awesome birthday campaign where you can ask people, instead of giving me a present,
no,
donate to the website.
No, I'm donating $23 right now. I want my birthday present.
It's a thing you can do. You don't have to. But yeah, it allows you to have a campaign just for one day only where you're saying, I'm raising money for a water fund. Give to this link instead of giving me a birthday present.
Not going
to
happen.
You don't like that idea?
Not going to happen. There are limits one day's wages.
How's it coming? Did you figure it out yet?
I'm getting there. I feel like I got to log into PayPal. What the heck?
Are you stalling because you don't want to give $23?
Yeah. What the heck, PayPal? I'm going to do it later.
This is
That's the noise I make when my wife wants me to do something and I don't want to do it.
This is really quality podcasting, though. I feel like somebody complimented our dinner and a movie episode that we didn't.
Yeah, Greg.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back to that feedback in the future.
All right. It's done.
All right. You did it. I'm going to refresh and see if I can. Did you write a note?
No.
No. It hasn't gone through yet. I'm going to refresh again. Oh, there it is. You did it.
$23.
All right. So Ben has just brought us to $1,400.
Yep.
So we're just, I mean, the goal of $5,000 is right around the corner, Ben.
Got us back to an even number.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. You're welcome.
That. All right, everybody. Go right now. Help us donate at onedayswages.org/the Sci-Fi Christian. So long, folks.
Yeah, goodbye.